I genuinely believe if you have the ability to collaborate, it doesn't matter whether you're in a senior leadership position, you're just starting out in your career. I think that ability to really focus on what that means is the most transferable skill.
Hey everyone, Gordon here. Thanks for coming to the Get Stuff Done podcast. If you're with us for the first time, a very, very warm welcome. If you're a regular listener, thank you so much for coming back again. You found your way to one of our GSD Insights episodes. In this series, which we release every other week alongside the Get Stuff Done episodes, we take a deep dive into the area of expertise of our guest. They share their perspectives on a current or future trend, and we really hope that it's thought-provoking for you. So let's jump right in. I hope you enjoy. Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Get Stuff Done podcast. I'm joined today by Kim England. Kim is the Vice President of Digital Employee Experience and Community Engagement at Pearson. And she has a career spanning 16 years, a track record delivering complex digital employee experiences, employee communities, and also global intranets. She is a naturally curious people person, and I had the pleasure of meeting her at an HR conference about a month ago here in London. She's also passionate about volunteering, including working with refugees and managing social media for her child's school PTA, as well as a voice board member for Young Lives versus Cancer. So I think she has a lot to share with us on the Get Stuff Done podcast. She immediately was interested to become a guest when I mentioned it to her. So Kim, thanks so much for being with us today.
Thank you so much for having me. I really appreciate it.
You've been with Pearson 16 years, is that right?
I have. 17 in May next year, yeah.
You know, and that, it's like you said, is increasingly less common. So tell me, what is it that Pearson have done to be able to retain you for that length of time?
Well, so my job has always been changing, so okay. I've never got bored. But I would say, sort of first and foremost, I picked Pearson because it was a purpose-led company. Like, it was a big difference from working for an oil company to working for an education company. And, you know, that's really important to me. And I think as I've had my children, that's become more important to me, right? So when I think about what does mummy do for a job and being able to tell them, that's really important. The second thing I think that has been really important is some of the benefits that I really value. So one of them is volunteering. So I can have 5 days volunteering a year. And so I use them across a variety of different things. The last couple of years, I've been using it to be on the voice board for Young Lives versus Cancer, because it's incredibly important to me after an experience with cancer and having to use the charity. But I've also used it for things like the PTA during the crisis, the refugee crisis in 2014. I used it to drive a transit van from London to Slovenia, full of aid. So, you know, you can pretty much use it, you know, depending on what's important to you. And then the third thing I would say is flexibility. So, you know, they have been incredibly flexible with me in terms of where I wanted to move my career, how I want to work. And, you know, your point about sometimes, you know, what you might want from a job when you start your career to when you are sort of further down the line is really important. So things that are important to me when I first joined Pearson was travel. I went all over the world with Pearson. It was amazing. I got to train people. I got to meet people. It was, you know, fascinating. But I was young and single and living in London, and it was really cool. Now I've got 2 children and an incredibly busy schedule. You know, the flying all over the world isn't as appealing to me, right. But the connectivity with people is just as important. And so I have a role where I feel like I can really add value to people. And that is, you know, is gold in terms of, you know, do I feel like I, you know, made a difference today when you get to the end of the day or the end of the week? And I truly do believe that I am able to do that. And Pearson has always supported that. So that is why I'm still here.
There we go. Yeah. No, I mean...
Oh, actually, I also should say, and I can't believe I didn't even start with this one. Uh-huh. I work with some of the most amazing people. We have a saying that you know, come for the purpose and you stay for the people. And it couldn't be truer because the people that I work with are just, you know, phenomenal. So that's another big draw.
I think any sea levels who are scratching their head around retention or keeping those high potential talents, right? That's take notes from your answer there. Absolutely. When it comes to a bit about what you mentioned about that transition through someone's career in terms of their priorities, do you see, and work-life balance has obviously been, you know, a word thrown about, and then let's not talk about balance because that suggests one or the other and a separation, and then work-life integration. Okay, so we're much more flexible in how we work. Where do you see that? Are we moving towards a full integration of work and life where everything, you know, we're aligned with the organization that we work for because it matches our own personal values and that's therefore then blended? Or, you know, is it more of a even greater kind of you know, respect for personal privacy and therefore almost a, you know, we're delegating work as for importance in our lives and it's more of a separated?
I hope you're enjoying this episode. I just wanted to remind you to click subscribe if you haven't done so yet. By subscribing and following the podcast, you'll get each and every episode automatically pop up on your playlist every week, so you won't miss any. Thank you so much for being with us. Now let's get back to our guest.
Where do you see that
I think now? We're at a juxtaposition, right? I think we're at this kind of strange, I mean, I don't have the numbers at my fingertips, but in terms of kind of what the breakdown is between like Gen Z, Millennial, Gen X, etc., etc. And I think because of that, it's a really strange time to be at work because you've got people who grew up in that kind of very much hierarchy. It was about being seen in the office, you know,
clock
thinking
on, clock
about
off.
Kind of, you know, how you measure someone's success, etc. Mm-hmm. Versus kind of the other end of this spectrum where, you know, Gen Z are putting a lot of value on, well, you know, am I going to have the opportunity to learn and grow? Have I got flexibility? You know, is this going to impact my well-being, right? Because, you know, well-being to them is incredibly important. And I think where companies really need to focus, I think, is with our leaders and our managers. Because I think at the end of the day, and I think about this for my own self, in my own team, I've got two people who work very, very differently. And I respect both of the ways that they like to work and the things that they're doing to keep themselves healthy and so on. Mm-hmm. But what I measure their performance on is the quality of the work and the output. So I give them a lot of flexibility. They give me a lot of flexibility. Now, if there's a performance issue, then we'll have a conversation about whether there's a performance issue, right? And I think that's where it breaks down. And I'll refer back to when we were launching community and social, you know, 14 years ago. You know, what if they're posting about, you know, stuff that's not work-related? And I used to say to them, well, the fact that they're on a company intranet or company social intranet and they're posting about non-work stuff, they're engaged, right?
Yeah.
Because they could be playing solitaire. They could be on Amazon. Yeah. They could be on, you know, whatever. But they're still engaged, right? So that means that we're doing something right. It could be their 5 minutes that they just want to, like, you know, reset before they move to a different task or whatever. But, like, they've chose to engage with us. What managers couldn't wrap their heads around, though, was, well, but they're time wasting, you know, they're not time wasting. But if that person isn't doing their job, and then you see that they're sitting on the social internet posting about this and that, then that's a completely different problem. That's not the tool's problem. That's a, you know, you've got an issue with your team person problem. And so I think a lot of our managers are not equipped for those conversations to talk about performance, quite frankly.
Right.
And to really address those issues. And the same thing's happening with remote working. People are slacking off at home. Well, if they're really clear about what's expected of them and they've got their goals or they've got their OKRs and you're able to measure them and you're having a regular one-to-one and they're delivering, who cares if they have a nap at lunchtime?
Yep, totally, totally.
But if they're not doing their job, then, you know, let's talk about that. And then I also think from a manager's perspective, when you get to the bottom of why someone's not doing their job, there's normally a reason.
Yeah.
So you've given
there's
them a task reason. That they're not
there's
capable
always a
of
reason.
Doing.
Yeah.
So they might need some more, you know, guidance. They might need, you know, some extra learning. You might need to help them a bit more. There might be something else going on. Like, and
they
that's
might not be clear on what
the
they have to do.
Missing. It's like, oh, they're just lazy. Well, hang on. So for me, I think that's where we're at. We've got to build these like grown-up conversations that are happening between people. Yeah. You want to go to the gym at 10 o'clock because there's a Pilates class that you love, or you want to do the Peloton class live or whatever. Okay, fine. But, you know, are you doing your job? Is your output great, etc.? And it's about that two-way dialogue.
Yeah.
Now, if you're missing all your deadlines, maybe you might need to miss the Peloton class at 10 o'clock tomorrow.
Yeah. Okay.
But, yep. You know, for me, it's always about communication.
Yeah.
Always.
For sure. And I think, unfortunately, we're still in a place where a lot of leadership, people in leadership roles, are people who actually were just the highest performers in the past and automatically were given those leadership roles.
100%.
They didn't necessarily want them. They also weren't trained in how to do that. And so now we have those people in senior positions where they never wanted to be a leader. They're very good at their job. And
they're probably grumpy because they missed the job that they loved.
Yes, absolutely. And so I think that's also something that is still, we're definitely feeling the effects of that. I think that's still very, very rampant across many industries.
Yeah, I completely agree. And I think that's what I mean about this sort of like new world that we're moving into, because those sort of old guard, if you like, is, you know, in a lot of that sort of C-suite senior manager roles. And it is changing, probably for some of us not fast enough, but I'm definitely seeing the green shoots of that sort of shift. And there's a lot of noise about, you know, the remote hybrid, and you know what I think? It's like the diversity conversation. Those companies that don't offer that flexibility, in the same way that if companies don't understand that diversity is what, you know, makes them a better organization and will be more successful, then they won't be the companies that people want to go and work for.
Exactly. And it's in that aspect, I always come back to Clayton Christensen's disruptive innovation theory, which is just the incumbents get, meaning the organizations, become increasingly slow and less agile. And even though they have a dominant market position, at some point there comes an agile, fast-moving, innovative disruption, and they come in and take over. I mean, and there's so many industries where that's the case. And, you know, we've gone through now 20-plus years of new economy, right, in terms of tech dominating. And we're almost entering another era where those big tech are now clunky and bureaucratic in some cases. People are sick of how excessively slow they are, and that's bringing in a new era of organizations.
And the reality is, most companies move really slow when it comes to tech, super slow. I mean, even just looking at that enterprise social network sort of evolution, if you like,
yes,
there's still companies that are only just kind of getting to where, you know, Pearson was 14 years ago, and, you know, we've kind of done an evolution, and we tried it a different way, we're trying it again. And there's some companies that are obviously very, you know, quick to adapt these things. But change in organisations, certainly larger organisations, is really slow.
Yeah.
It's why Microsoft have got such a handle and like a hold on organisations. We're so wedded to Microsoft. And, you know, like, Microsoft's like your wardrobe. You only use like 20% of it, 80% of the time, like whether it's Outlook, whether it's Excel, whatever.
Yeah.
We're all so tied into it. Yeah. And most of the time, it's like the worst experience ever.
Yes. And there are some other examples of tech companies that, when it's a free private usage, it's amazing. And as soon as you go into the enterprise side, the paid side, ironically, it becomes just a disaster. I'm not going to name names, but I'm sure people hearing that will have some.
And I should say, there's certain things I love about Microsoft, don't get me wrong, but I just, it's infuriating. And, you know, it brings us back to how we met when I was talking on that panel, because as an employee communications professional who is really looking at experience, it's quite limiting. And the technology stack at the minute is so dense. There's just so much of it. There's a tool for this, there's a tool for this. And, you know, what you end up doing is just kind of spending a lot of time going, okay, well, where am I going to, you know, what's the trade-off? Okay, I want this more than I want that. Or, you know, this is more important to me than, you know, perhaps this, you know, feature or whatever. And so, you're kind of doing the best for your employees in terms of trying to make it as simple as possible. But the reality is then on the front end, as they sort of experience all these things, they're like, where am I supposed to go? What am I supposed to do? And, you know, bringing it back to kind of the get stuff done, most people just want to get stuff done in the simplest, easiest way possible. And so I think the technology isn't really helping us on that front. I don't even know whether there's a magic wand. Maybe it's AI, I don't know. I mean, the funniest thing about the tech folk now, they're like, oh, we've got this AI feature. Really, is it AI? Is it really AI? Like, oh, this is going to make everything better. Well, you've made me three promises previous to this that you're going to, you know, the latest trend would make your product better. I don't think AI will.
Indeed. It is. The talk of it being the saviour for everything is rampant right now. There's no doubt about it. I want to close with one final question, which perhaps it covers almost the entire range of subjects we've talked about, which is transferable skills. You know, and in the range of things we've talked about in the last almost an hour, what do you consider to be the most important or valuable transferable skill these days?
Collaboration. I really do. I think, you know, I would tie that into, you know, as communication as well. I genuinely believe if you have the ability to collaborate, it doesn't matter whether you're in a senior leadership position, you're just starting out in your career. I think that ability to really focus on what that means is the most transferable skill, because, you know, you have to be flexible, you have to be able to articulate what you need or want, you need to be able to listen and understand where other people are coming from. And I think the more people that can hone that skill, that can really develop that muscle, the better organisations and companies will work. And I think there's lots of things that sort of sit around collaboration, you know, being able to be agile and, you know, as I say, communicate. And, you know, there's lots of probably people who will be listening to this and be thinking, oh, you know, it's digital skills, it's analytics, it's understanding AI, it's all those things. But if you're collaborative, then you can probably pick those things up, because you'll go find someone that's going to help you, right?
Yes.
And
100%.
And for me, I don't think I am the expert at everything. In fact, I know I'm not the expert at everything in employee communications. But what I do is surround myself with people who are, and then talk to them. You know, one of the people I collaborate now is ChatGPT. The best thing I ever learned about ChatGPT or any of the kind of different AI tools that you can use is to talk to them like a human. So, you know, I start a conversation and say, hey, can we collaborate on some ideas that I've got? Can we? And the responses that you get compared to, like, what should I do? You know, it's just that sort of nuance in changing language.
Yep.
So, you know, as much as I love collaborating with humans, I am also now collaborating with AI. But it's the same thing, right? Because I'm listening to what's coming back. I'm saying, okay, some of that's not so great. And you can literally say that to it. Like, I had something yesterday in... You know how ChatGPT loves to put some fluffy words in, and I'm like, not sure about that. And then they come back, yeah, you know, you're right. That is probably, I can't remember what they said. Let's change it for this. And like, it's like having a, you know, a collaborative conversation. Yep. So for me, it's that word. It's collaboration always.
I think you've proved your point, because the essence of collaboration is utilizing all available means, and there you go, with the latest ChatGPT. Kim, we are out of time. I want to really thoroughly thank you for being a guest today. I almost feel we could keep going. I don't think we haven't run out of steam, but we've just ran out of time, unfortunately. So, and we covered a lot, which I think will be of immense value to everyone. So yeah, thank you for sharing your insights today.
Thank you so much.
And thank you to everybody listening, wherever you may be. Another fantastic episode of the Get Stuff Done podcast. If you have not subscribed to us yet, I don't know what you're doing. We're on our 40-something episode already. So please do subscribe, whatever platform you are on. And if you are even so kind as to give us a review, that will help us to reach even more people. Once again, thanks very much. And remember, let's get stuff done. And that's another episode of the Get Stuff Done podcast. Thank you so much for being with us. I hope you enjoyed it. And if you'd like to get involved
and you have someone who you think would be a good guest for the podcast, please drop me a message and I'll be happy to get in touch. Alternatively, if you would like to share this episode on your social media, that would also be extremely appreciated by us. Thank you so much once again. Remember, let's get stuff done.